Mario. We are truly grateful to have today very, very unique guest with us in studio. Darren and I, we have opportunity interviewing every week all different entrepreneurs who doesn't have this glittery Hollywood, you know, flashy websites and, you know, be presented in the public, but they are unsung business heroes. One of them today is with us, and you'll be surprised. You know, I was chasing some similar portfolio to run on my own, so like this can help me maybe to understand better that industry. Ladies and gentlemen, today with us in studio is Lindsay Mans. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you very much, Mario.
Yeah, well, look, I just try to understand your adopt business. Is that the name of your company?
As much as we love businesses, we don't like to adopt them. It's actually ADEPT, A-D-E-P-T.
My English not good. Darren should read that one. So it's ADEPT business.
ADEPT business. But how did you start adapting in business?
Well, look, it's an interesting story. Like everyone's business story is always...
Cast us back. We love to hear how people start in their businesses because it gives a lot of key tips to
possibly
others.
From age five, little Lindsay, 5 years old.
Well, it's funny. When I was a young 8 year old, no, actually even 7 year old, I used to get up every morning when my father got up and put his tie on. I'd put a little mini tie on. My neighbor used to make them up for me. And so I think from that early time that the die was cast.
So do you believe that our parents actually inset in us these values of the life? Like we said, your father goes to war, but you put a tie. So he was your role example, maybe? Or
look, it's an interesting sort of thought that, you know, when you're taking information in, you know, I spend a lot of time hanging out in a business and in an office. So I probably did have that sort of thought in the back of my mind.
So when you start wearing your own tie? You know, no neighbors making. When was it that age?
Well, of course, I'd only wear it around the house because I didn't want to sort of get picked on when I went out to school or anything like that.
Okay. So, obviously, you grew up in Australia. Then, you know, your first experience with the business was when?
Well, look, for me in business, when I went through, you know, even through high school and everything else, I had it in my mind I wanted to be a lawyer. That was my big thing. So,
may I ask you why?
I'd like to know why. No, I think those people around me sort of wanted me maybe to thought that might be a calling for me. And somehow I really thought that was the thing I was going to do. So all through high school, that's what I was working towards. And it was actually, and this theme of serendipity comes up a lot in my career, where I didn't get into the law course I wanted to at the end of high school. I ended up taking a business course as a fill for a year, and then I was going to get back into law. But I actually really enjoyed business.
Look, I read something, Darren, just quickly from the Lindsay resume, which was kindly supplied by Lindsay. I need to mention this company. So why you want to elicit this interview, it's very, very important. As I always mentioned, there's a people coming in this studio who are truly unsung business heroes. And we see them every day on the street, but we don't know what they do, how they're operating, what is their modus operandi. However, Lindsay Mans has a impeccable track record. He was between 2013-2015 CEO of Anytime Fitness Australia, leading through a period of rapid growth and internal development. In that 2 year period, it moved from third to overtake FF Fitness as the number one fitness chain in Australia, with a store growth of 39% and 101% revenue growth, with 406 clubs operating and 390,000 active members by July 2015. That is very staggering, very, very impressive results. That's the reason why I'm saying to our listeners, they need to listen interview with you today later on the podcast. So when you continuing, you know, what was your first business you've been in?
Look, interestingly enough, you know, without going through the entire story, I, you know, when I went from not being a lawyer to doing business, I ended up working in, you know, in the corporate sort of world, and I thought I was going to be in business and banking and all of those things.
Yes.
You know, and I had my 2 years over in London working holidays, people do, and got some great experience over there. Thought I'd come back into Australia and land myself a really good banking role. And I arrived
from lawyer to the banks.
And I arrived in Melbourne in 1991. Which, for anyone who knows the economics at the time, that was not a good place to be in Melbourne because we're right in the middle of the recession.
Your recession, I heard that was recession 90 something in Australia, yeah.
And Melbourne always gets things worse, apparently.
Now, I'm not going to say that because I do have some very favourite Melbourne people in my life.
Yes.
But Melbourne at that time was not a great place to actually get a job. So I found myself actually needing to get out there and create a business for myself.
And
my first business was actually buying into a bookkeeping franchise.
Okay, on that note, won't you be afraid to start your own business or buy the franchise? Did you have any doubts in yourself, will I be successful? Will this work for me, particularly mid the recession, which we are right now? So you're the perfect man for this perfect radio show. So yes, please share with us.
Look, it's very interesting you say that the idea that somehow you could just suddenly create something when everyone else feels like they're shutting things up and whatever else, that you can really get caught into that negative cycle of what that is. I was fortunate that I had someone that I had met through business down there who actually initially came into the business together with me.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst he didn't play a real practical role, it gave me the confidence. So the first thing was the confidence and the belief that, yeah, I could do this. And when I was actually out there starting doing the things you need to do, I actually found I could do a lot more than I, you know, originally thought.
Yeah.
And what became a bit of the theme of what I've done in my career really is that I found that I was actually really good at actually helping enable other people to build their business. You know, I have never sought to be the person in the spotlight at the front, but I've always found ways where I can actually help other people grow their business, deliver their business, or whatever else.
Do you mind to ask you, how did you feel that, to share with us and our listeners, how did you felt you can share your knowledge experience with other people around you? Did they come to you and say like, hi, Lindsay, can you help with this and that? Or did you observe on the side and you saw like, this person can do better? Or how that was the process working, if you can share with our listeners, please?
Look, certainly. Look, you know, I certainly did a lot of business study over my time. So I've done undergraduate business degree. I've done my master's business degree. So I've certainly learnt and taken on formal knowledge. I've also been in many different situations, so I've observed a lot of things across different industries and whatnot. So I've built up that basis. One of the things when I actually started branching out and doing the business coaching actually as a process, not just as a, that's yes, what I called myself, it was a learned process. And I learned some very valuable processes and techniques in that time that allowed me to actually do what I would call is actually look and operate contextually in a situation.
Can you elaborate this?
I was just going to summarize it and throw it back to you.
Please throw back to the Lindsay.
Yes, it seems to be from you and your eyes and your passion that you love learning and you actually have a passion for sharing your learnings with others to help them learn and succeed.
Look, that's actually a good observation because my mother was a school teacher. And actually, when I was quite young, I used to love nothing better than going hanging out, you know, when I'd finished school around her class and sort of watch that teaching process. So in one way, I always, you know, my role models, like a lot of people, especially in primary school, were my teachers. And I like that idea of really helping develop people. So there is a passion there around helping to teach. But there's also that piece around actually, to me, it comes out of really trying to understand people. You know,
do you believe that's a key ingredient to understand the people?
Look, it really is. I think, you know, we often when we're seeking help from someone, we try to jump to we want the answer from someone. And that can be, you know, that can kind of have a short-term benefit for us. You know, someone might happen to know something and we can put that in place straight away. But the true benefit of getting someone to work with you in your business and what I try to do is actually help build that capability within yourself to find the answers.
May I ask you one personal question? This is my Rebecca's last question. Are you afraid or shy or you reserved to share your knowledge with somebody who can't, not just afford you, but, you know, doesn't have nowhere to go to come to you and say, like, Lindsay, I would like to ask a question, would you refuse that person to answer?
No, I
see that's the difference. You know, you say something very interesting. Darren was, you know, my personal experience, you know, when I started my business, like there's so many business coaches, lifestyle coaches, but the fundamental question nobody asked me, who are you, what your business does? But straight away was, I can help you. I'm like, what do you mean help me? You don't even know, like, you know, was this with me? So we'll leave on that note. We take a short break. You're listening live, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario Darin with us today in studio. It's true. The master of work. Lindsay Muntz from Adept Business. We come back, short break. Moon, yes, something.
20 minutes past one, live 90.5, Business Insights with Mario Darren.
And we're already 20 minutes into the second part of our radio show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario, with a truly amazing guest in studio, Lindsay Muntz. As always mentioning this, and I'd like to share with you that our guests are true unsung business heroes with an exclusively awesome track record. They are not afraid to say the failures, obstacles, but at the end of the day, the track record proved that they are persistence, knowledge, and experience actually help all our listeners and all of you who are seeking the help to excel in the life, privately and in business. So Lindsay Muntz today, which, as I said, like, is a truly unique opportunity to have somebody with that track record with us in the studio. And he doesn't say he's a business coach. He's somebody who's going to make you very profitable. Why is that? Because if you go on a website, Facebook page, Business Insights with Mario and Darren, you can see the very impeccable and very, very awesome track record of our guest, Lindsay Muntz. So Lindsay, you know, like, you decide to one day to help people, and, you know, observe, you collected your knowledge, you go to university. Now let's go more practical things. And, you know, there's a lot of gurus there on the market. There's a lot of people who gives tips, advice. My first question would be a very practical question. People have a desire to start a business, but they fail. How do you identify problems that someone's going to fail, and how you help them?
Look, it's an interesting question, because firstly, it's like, what is actually failure? Because, you know, a lot of people will actually say you need to actually try things and things not to work to really learn and develop.
So, okay, that's interesting. So failure, it's a love.
Yeah, you know, you have to have that passion behind what you're doing that will actually take you through and help you persevere. Now, there's always a very important question you have to take is whether you're at a point in your business where you really just need to accept that this is not going to work and maybe take another track, or whether it's really a pivot point to, I need to try something differently, but I need to keep moving forward.
That's interesting. What we say, the pivot moment, how do they identify on their own? Like, how do you identify for somebody when somebody comes to you? I say for my example, I run the business for 3 years and I left. I was living on my wife's credit card, corporate credit card. She almost been sacked, you know what I mean? Like, pay me virtual office, this and that. But the point it is, I wanted to continue because I didn't want to go back in corporate world because I knew that I've been shafted there. There's many reasons, but the bottom line is, how do you identify somebody? It's a pivot moment or to stop. What was the triggers, or what's the indicators you see in that moment?
Well, firstly, I'd say for the individual, it's often very hard to see that for yourself. So that's one of the reasons you seek outside expertise.
Sorry, say again. You're seeking what?
Outside expertise, like someone like myself or a coach or an advisor, but someone who can actually help you bring awareness to your situation. Because when we're in that situation ourselves, it's sometimes hard to see outside of our box that we're in.
Yeah, look, I heard that one, that all normal ideas are best ideas. But why we have that belief that everything what we do, it's the best, we don't seek the help of a professional like yourself?
Look, it's a tricky thing, because sometimes we just don't know how to engage other people. Like, how do we ask for help, but also what's the right sort of help? And again, sometimes, you know, we speak to people who say, oh, look, I've got the solution for you. So they come straight in and start telling you what you should be doing. And that's often doesn't feel right as well. It's kind of like, well, hang on, that's not what I was trying to do here.
Yes.
I believe it might work for you, but will that belief work for me? So that piece in terms of what stops people from seeking help sometimes or actually really using it is the right sort of someone who can come in and actually just actually listen and understand the situation firstly and ask the right questions.
Interesting. You know, that Lindsay says, you must come and listen and understand situation. And I never heard that before, because everybody offers solution. Everybody will offer, you know, my experience again, this is Mario Becker's experience. The business coaches I met, that everybody has solution and never heard my problem. And that for me was a frustrating. It's like, how do you know what my problems are? I'm running investigative company. I'm not running IT company, but maybe applying some methods from previous clients on a type of business. You agree, Darren?
I do definitely agree. I love listening to people and love working out what I have to offer them? Because there's two ways. And when I was really techie and techie-based and whatever, and Lindsay may agree with this as well, you think, yeah, I can create you the best solution and you can go away and run with it. If they don't know how to use the solutions, or it's not the solution for them, or they can't get right into, I don't know, Excel or a CRM or things like that, it could be the worst thing for them. And the other thing, you're just creating expectation that you may do the work for them. And if that's not what you want to do, so myself, and it's not, then you're in like this double bind of you given the wrong help because now they're dependent on you and they have not learned.
So, Lindsay, one tip only for everybody who runs the business, want to start a business, or hits the obstacles. What would be your tip?
Look, it is very much around, firstly, looking in your environment, who can actually help you as a sounding board? Or how do you actually stop and get outside of the day-to-day thinking that you're actually in? Because quite often when you've hit a problem, it's like you're cycling down into that problem. And, you know, the first step might be literally just actually speaking to a friend or a spouse or someone else, but it's not about seeking an answer. And quite often that's the problem. Sometimes when we're asked from the outside, we try to come in with an answer. I don't know how many times, you know, someone might have tried
that. Can you share more with this? We're looking for the answer. Can you share more? Yes, Zarin?
Yeah, I was just thinking it's like how you go to the doctor, sorry. get me right there. And you're looking for a pill.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's like that in business as well, no doubt, Lindsay.
It is absolutely like that. You know, sometimes we feel frustrated. You know, we go to the doctor, we think we know what's wrong, and they're taking a whole lot of time to get to that same point. But they know that their profession is about diagnosing and really understanding a situation rather than rushing to a solution. Now, in this world that I operate, sometimes people get quite frustrated and say, look, you obviously know the answer. Can you just get to the point?
We are not ready to listen, obviously. Like, I know myself, you know, like, I must use myself for example, this conversation. Many times I don't want to hear the outside world. You know, I truly believe it was me, and till I didn't come to the point when I hit no walls but double walls, then I seek the help. And you know, I'm grateful I have somebody in my life who helps me with all this decision making. But you know, why are we not listening? People like yourself, you know, like, you know, just read just a portion of your resume there, in the fitness industry where they, you know, working. Why we don't want to listen?
Look, sometimes we won't listen if we don't feel we've been listened to in the first instance. Sometimes we feel a little bit like, well, unless that person's done exactly what I've done, what would they know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find, you know, that when we talked before, and Darren, you know, to your point around that idea of I know a solution for you, I often use the analogy of like the coral reef solution. You go to the coral reef, the Great Barrier Reef, and you see the coral down there. It's beautiful, looks spectacular in the water and everything else. You think that coral is just doing such a great job. So, and you don't do this anymore, but you pull off a piece of the coral and you take it home and you put it in your mantelpiece.
Yeah.
Does that coral to life on your mantelpiece? It's just a piece of white rock.
Yes.
Because out of the context where that was the right piece, it doesn't play a role. And sometimes we try to cherry pick solutions from somewhere else where that solution does work. But if it's not joined up, and what I mean by joined up is that you, as the business owner, really need to believe in that solution. You need to have been part of helping create that solution. Because if it's just Mario's solution or Darren's solution, it doesn't, you know, it's very easy for me to give it a bit of a try and go, oh, it didn't work, you were wrong.
So that's interesting. Yeah.
You have to own part of that solution and you have to be part of creating that solution.
Well, I'm thinking I better put that coral back in.
did you pitch that coral?
I was specifically mentioning you.
Look, Darren is a very, very, you know, like very, you know, as you can see, very warm person. Like, you know, like it's so sweet, you know what I mean? But he's a criminal, you know what I mean? Hardcore. But let me, before we go to the break, we're going to talk about your next step in industry, which is fitness. I'm very curious, how did you turn this? Because that's a very interesting point I would like to discuss. Ladies and gentlemen, listening online, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And our guest in studio, Lindsay Munns from Adept Business. I learned it really, really quick on English. It's Adept Business. And Darren and I will take a short break, come back after the break, and more conversations with Lindsay Munns with us in studio. Thank you for listening online, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
It's 25 minutes to 2, Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Thank you to all listeners for tuning in on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario, now guest in studio, Lindsay Munz. Lindsay, before we take a short break, I ask you a question. We're going to talk about your next step. Even if you don't want to go in corporate world, you ended in corporate world. And you landed in industry, which you're not expert for sure, because I said, like, you know, we spoke about this one. You went into fitness industry, and I read some excerpt from the resume, and not much, but you make it one brand better from other brand in Australia. There's two big fitness brands in Australia.
Yeah, 100% growth increase in 2 years.
Yeah. How did you achieve this, and how did you land that job?
Well, look, it's interesting. So the first thing I'd actually say is I am not an industry expert. I'm not an industry expert in any industry and in fitness or whatever else per se.
Yeah.
The skills I have and the ability I have is, and I used the word before about context.
Yeah.
And about the idea of what is actually contextually consistent across different industries, different businesses that actually create very similar problems for businesses that are in a growth. Because the truth of Anytime Fitness, it was absolutely already growing. Like, it wasn't me that helped grow that business. That business was actually on a path.
On a growth, yeah.
The struggle that they had was, how do we manage this growth? How do we keep control over a business that's just getting bigger and bigger all the time? You know, it used to be where the owners knew everyone and had hired everyone in the business. They got to the point where they walk in there the next day and they didn't even know who these people were.
And so
the original passion and knowledge over, we know exactly what we're doing here, starts to dissipate. And so that struggle of between that point was not about creating the demand, because the demand was there, and there was literally a backlog of people waiting to either buy franchises or open them up. But what was the struggle was how to organizationally cater for that situation.
So it was a quick growth? Is that what it is? Or
yeah, that it's a function of quick growth. And one of the areas I really focus in is businesses that are actually going through that fast growth phase where the business is turning into something else. It's not what they, you know, we start a business, we know all about it, we feel in control over stuff. When it starts to grow and grow quickly, it starts to feel outside of our control very quickly. And where do you get that skill and that knowledge of how to actually grow that next size business? You don't get it from having done what you do every day.
That's very interesting. And so, you know, you come in a company, nobody doesn't know you. Did you sack somebody? Did you say, like, you're fired, Darren?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, that's what it's like. So how these things works when you walk somewhere and they bring somebody who's an expert in building the companies, building the brand, but doesn't have the experience like in fitness industry. Did you face any frictions or obstacles? Did somebody give you the look, you don't know how much reps you need to do it, like, or something like this? Yeah.
Look, one of the key principles I use when I'm working with businesses anyways, I'm very clear about creating an understanding of what the different areas of the business are.
Yeah.
We use a very simple model, which is called red, blue, black. And it's just about understanding that the blue is the real day-to-day, the cut and thrust, the sales, all the operational activity that goes on. The red is the support activity, the accounting, the legal, the premises, the administration, all of that. And this black area is what we call strategy, but strategy being a word that everyone uses for lots of different things.
Yes.
But it's actually how to manage the business as you want it to be next year, not how you're getting, you know, reaching sales results this week, this quarter, this month. It's building the business as it needs to be going forward. Now, in this situation, the role I came into was really to assist with that moving forward. But we needed to help the business, the day-to-day business, function more efficiently. So,
interesting, yeah. You know, I was thinking myself, like, I'm the member of the Anytime Fitness, and they're like, you know, I was thinking myself, you just swipe the card, that's it, you know what I mean? You just walk in, but you know, it doesn't look that way, Darren. You know what I mean? Like, every business thinks, you know, business owner, including myself, you know, like, we have the strategies, but actually, you know, I must say that my horizon is like, let's go say 14 days from today, no further. And, you know, sometimes I think myself, like, well, I should think what's going to happen next year or something like this, but You see, many business owners, they don't know that model.
I was just thinking, Mario, thanks for the chat to chance, sorry, to jump in here. But there's many thoughts with that black, blue and red. And I'd like to put it to Lindsay now. Where do you like working best? So talking about that fitness enterprise, you're saying you're working a lot in the red. Is that only where you work, or do you work everywhere else as well?
No, actually, my role was more in the black area.
The black, sorry. Sorry, I got that wrong. Yeah, yeah. Strategy, yes.
And look, that is, to answer the question, that is much more my passion, okay?
And that's what I'm asking. Yeah. So what is your passion, and where do you like working best? And a question I was going to say, and now this is the question, what is your perfect client?
Okay, well, the best way to describe my perfect client is it's a business that's grown. It's got its runs on the board, but it's actually starting to get the point where the nature of the business is having to change because of the scale that it's got to. The owner, the founder, who to that point has been able to manage everything quite well, is suddenly like, hang on, I'm having to do a whole new skill set. I'm no longer, you know, they often say, I'm no longer on the tools. I'm now actually managing people and
so
systems.
So in that situation, you're working with the owner, the founder, yep, or executive team. Give us a bit of an example of what you might do if you're coming into that sort of business.
Look, it's very much, and I actually define it as my ideal client is a founder-led business. So the founder, the owner, is still the key person there in the business, because there is a lot that sits there that is around the culture of the business, not just about the commercial part of things. And so working with that owner is a key part of what I do. Because some of the way of moving forward is actually giving the owner the courage and the know-how and the security to let go of things and delegate and let others come in.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I just got a question now about, replying to somebody. He asked me. So mystery. You know, when the people start a business and they're getting tips and advice from internet. Would you suggest, this particular question comes from the one who listens on the Facebook, would you suggest somebody takes the tips and advice from the internet or from the real person like yourself? Not bull, you know what I mean? Just tell me. And then what's the difference if that comes to you or not going to the internet?
Well, you know, the first way of answering that is that, you know, do you want to fish or do you want to learn how to fish? Mm. So the
I don't know that one. What do you mean fish? No, I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, Darren,
I could answer, but I think I want to hear it from Lindsay.
Yeah, well, effectively, it's the old story of actually, you know, I can actually either give you a fish, okay, if that's what you actually wanted, or I can teach you to fish. And if I teach you to fish, you can catch as many fish as you want to. If you just take that one fish from me, then you've got one fish, and tomorrow you're hungry.
Interesting. Right. So that's interesting.
Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime.
Perfect. Yeah, I don't like seafood anyway, but I will stick with something else. We take a short break. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And now guest in studio, Lindsay Munns from Adapt Business. Stay tuned. You'll be glad you did it.
Well, minutes to two, Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And with us in studio, the truly unique, and we are very privileged, honored having him in the studio with us, Lindsay Munns from the Adapt. Darren, what again is like?
Get it right. Adapt business.
Business here, I mean. So, look, I try to, you know, it's so confusing for me. So that's the reason why I'm not successful like a Lindsay. So, Lindsay, we spoke before we go on a break about strategies. What the strategies are, and can you explain the modus operandi and how do you apply them in the growth of your clients?
Yeah, look, strategy is one of those jargon words that gets thrown around all the time. But effectively, when I'm talking about working in the strategy or the strategic part of the business, you know, as I said before, it's about actually what do we want to create next year? What do we want to create moving forward? So in the blue area, in the operational, you're trying to do things more efficiently. You're trying to just simply get things done better. But strategically, it's about actually trying to find out to do better things. It's actually what do we want to be doing differently? How do we move the business and look at the business model going forward? You know, and a big area for people in that at the moment is around, you know, we hear that digital transformation piece. And it's like, oh, that just sounds so onerous, you know. I've got to learn how to do this now, have I? But effectively, you know, there's a couple of areas in digital transformation. You know, one area is about actually, you know, the operational and the procedure things that you actually do, and that internal. You know, another part is actually around how your customer experience, you know, everything you have on social media and all those things. The third area, which often people don't even look at, is actually what digital models or what ways can you take your business and digitize things moving forward. And that sometimes, you know, when we see what some businesses have done at the other end and go, oh, that was pretty obvious. Yet it's not obvious if we're not actually looking in the right places.
I think you've just opened up a chestnut where we could talk for hours on digital transformation, and you'd get me going. Because
for that reason, I want to invite Lindsay in a few weeks' time to come back again, for 2 hours, so I can talk about this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what did you say, chestnut?
A chestnut.
Like,
because they're hard to crack. But when you crack them, you kind of get in a lovely nut.
Oh, okay.
I love the kernel.
I was thinking David Jones, the
kernel.
Locker.
There I'm talking about Linux as well.
Okay. So Lindsay, how do you see transformation businesses now, you know, from COVID-19, during the COVID-19? Because we can't talk about post-COVID. I just, you know, when people start talking about post-COVID or this and that, there is no infinity line when it's going to end, how it's going to end, you know, I mean, what's going to be. But how do you help the businesses right now through the COVID, the crisis? Because it is crisis, you know, certainly it's crisis. Australia, it's an island nation, and we're depending a lot on logistics and close borders between amongst the state. How do you help these people to go through these obstacles and hurdles right now?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that there's some structural things that have happened in that you cannot deny that they are business destroyers or they're things that severely limit business.
Yeah.
But the other piece is that people are still buying things. People are still needing things. People still have wants and needs.
Yes.
And there's never a better time to innovate in a business than when some structural change
like that happens. You can help that way to companies to do this.
Some of the most successful businesses, when you look back, they were actually founded in these sort of times. Maybe not as extreme as COVID, but in recessions, if you actually go back and track them, some of our most successful businesses, that's when they started. And they started because they, even though it was doom and gloom, there was an unmet need, and they found a way to answer that.
Why so calm? You know, I mean, like, and I was expecting when I, you know, like, smack them with the face that the desk in front of us, like, no, it cannot be done. But this is the reason why people should call you, because you were very calm, very positive. You know, I mean, and you know, that's what makes you unique, and the. Gives you that integrity that people should come to you during the COVID, because like COVID, no doubt, you know, it makes us all over the place. And do you watching a lot of news?
Yes, to a degree.
Why don't you watch much more news?
Because sometimes when you hear the same story too many times, you're actually losing that thought of actually saying, okay, so what's sitting behind that? And so just hearing the reinforced negative, you have to be aware of the facts, don't get me wrong, but you also have to allow yourself the chance to say that, but that's not the whole story.
Would you use this in with your clients as well? So like, you know, concentrate on this, not just the news?
You need to allow yourself to be open to the other possibilities that exist at any time.
Well. Yes, Darren. You want to do what? Break?
We're running out of time.
No.
Time
is on our side.
Yeah, we may have the time, but yes, you have been listening to Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and I'm just going to take the little opportunity to talk about how our listeners can get in contact with Lindsay.
I don't know. I can't even spell the name of his business. You know what I mean? And
Adept. Okay. You can adopt Adept Business for your business. There you go. Strategic and business transformation expert, board advisor, chief executive, and business coach, Lindsay Munns of Adept Business.
The man with the results.
The results, indeed. And how can people get in touch with you today?
Well, look, there is a website. So my website is at adeptbiz.com.
Why are you looking at me?
Adeptbiz.com. Thank you. And
you can also find me on LinkedIn. And here's the thing. My name, Lindsay Munns, is a very unique name. So if you search me, you will probably find the right Lindsay Munns fairly early.
Well, that was Lindsay Munns, ladies and gentlemen, from adeptbusiness.biz. Thank you, Lindsay, for being our guest today. Hopefully you're going to accept our invitation in 5 weeks' time. We're going to send you another invitation for 2 hours session. We're going to talk about David Jones Locker. No.
Digital transformation. Chestnut. Everything else chestnut, about your yes, business. Yeah. The chestnut.
Yeah. And for the all listeners, please tune in today on our website alive905.com.au. Search under the podcast Business Insights with Mario and Darren. There is an interview with Lindsay Munz and the contact details. And I'm imploring you and asking you nicely, click at that link, listen to this interview, contact Lindsay Munz. Lindsay, thank you one more time for being our guest today, and we'll see you in a couple weeks' time.
Thank you so much, Mario.
You're welcome, mate.